together. I'm glad that we didn't have to do a head-to-head with Husker football this morning. It would have exposed us. It really would have. It would have exposed us as a people. It would have exposed us as a city. It would have exposed us as a state with regard to who our true and real God is. And so, thanks be to God that we got a little bit of a reprieve from that. But it's also a good time to evaluate, take note of, and perhaps repent of our false idols. There will be another day, there will be another game, and long after we're gone as well. But we have much to be thankful for today, and the text from Luke chapter 17 will point us to the object of our thankfulness. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 790. We heard it in the prelude. Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. It's on page 151 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We've got two options for the hymn of praise. We'll sing the Gloria. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give you humble thanks and praise for the healing and deliverance that you have given to us, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Bless us today that the object of our thankfulness would always and only be you, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bless us now as we hear your word and receive your gifts. All these things, Lord, we pray in the holy and precious name of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 790.
Praise to the Lord.
Divine Service, Setting 1, page 151. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit appointed for the day. From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory, Lord Jesus Christ, only Son.
Pray. O Lord, keep your church with your perpetual mercy. And because of our frailty, we cannot but fall. Keep us ever by your help from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the 14th Sunday after Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read together the gradual appointed for today.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night.
The epistle is from Galatians chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For they are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, Alleluia, and verse. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 849, "Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness." Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today comes from that gospel lesson just read, especially these words from our Lord, "Your faith has made you well." Dear friends in Christ, those words tell us what this morning's gospel lesson is all about. It's about faith. It's about belief. Jesus tells that healed Samaritan leper that his faith has saved him. Yes, the word there doesn't only mean has made you well, it also means the leper is saved by his faith. Now, before we go in and look at the gospel lesson further, we need to understand what faith is. Faith is described for the Christian by the first commandment. You should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Faith is having complete trust or confidence in something. And faith always has an object, meaning it always has something that it looks to, something it puts trust in. So a man runs a marathon with the faith that he will finish the marathon. Not this man. A Husker fan goes to a Husker game having faith that he'll get to see a Husker game. A man puts money into the bank with the faith that one day he'll be able to take that money back out. A person has faith in their spouse that they will be there till death do they part. The list could go on and on and on. Faith always has an object, something that it trusts in, and faith always trusts in that thing completely. And that's the main point from our gospel lesson this morning. In our gospel lesson, we see 10 men who are sick with leprosy. As a result of their disease, they had painful sores all over their body, so they could no longer have faith in their health or well-being. They had no faith either in their families or villages, for leprosy required them to live apart. And even as they drew near to others to shout out from a distance, "Unclean, unclean," to keep those friends and family and even strangers from approaching too near. Those with leprosy had no faith in money, for no one would hire them to earn a wage. And even if they were hired, because of their illness, they'd be unable to complete any tasks because of their disease. And so our gospel lesson has 10 men who have faith in very little because they are suffering from a poor, debilitating disease. But these 10 had heard about Jesus. We aren't sure how, but they had heard that this wandering preacher healed people. Luke, in his gospel, describes all sorts of these instances. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus healed a man who had a withered hand. In chapter 5, Jesus healed a paralytic. In chapter 7, Jesus rose a poor widow's son from the dead. In chapter 8, Jesus cast out a demon, healed a woman from a flow of blood, and raised Jairus' daughter. And in chapter 5 of Luke's gospel, Jesus heals a different leper. He heals a leper. An amazing miracle. And maybe, just maybe, Jesus could do the same thing for these 10 lepers that he did for the one earlier in the gospel. Maybe he could heal them. So these 10 lepers go forth looking for Jesus. And when they find him on his way to Jerusalem, on the way to the cross and suffering and death, they stand from afar and they make a request with the faith that Jesus could heal their illness. Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. They had faith that Jesus could heal that leprosy. They had a faith which had the object that Jesus was the master over disease, that he could make them well just like he'd healed all the others. But that's as far as their faith goes. They call Jesus Master, after all, but not Lord, not God, not Savior. Their faith goes far enough to believe that Jesus is a good doctor, a worker of healing miracles, but no more. What's Jesus' response? Jesus sends them to the priests. He doesn't outright heal them right then and there. It may sound like a minor thing, but in fact, Jesus was sending these 10 lepers back to the scriptures. Moses, in the book of Leviticus, spends 2 whole chapters explaining what those with leprosy should do according to God's holy word. And chief among those things is that lepers are to go and to show themselves to the priests or to examine their illness to see if they're getting better or worse, who are the ones who decide if they can remain in society or must be separate from society. The words of Jesus, "Show yourselves to the priest," summarizes those 2 chapters. And really, it's the same way Jesus healed the other leper back in chapter 5. So when the lepers come to Jesus, he gives them God's holy word. He sends them back to the scriptures, and therefore also back to the priests. The lepers thus begin their trip down to Jerusalem. And as they walk, they're healed. The sores vanish. The pus dries up. The feeling returns to their fingers. They're restored to health. The faith that Jesus could heal them was found to be true. Their leprosy was gone. They were healed. And here is where the difference of faith is shown in this gospel lesson. You see, 9 of the 10 lepers see Jesus only as a miracle worker who has healed him. 9 of the 10 see Jesus only as master over disease. So they continue on their way, presumably to Jerusalem, presumably to the priests, and back to their everyday lives. But for one of those 10 lepers, their faith is different. That one leper has seen Jesus. He's heard Jesus' word. He's been sent to study the scriptures. And he understands something different about Jesus. He has a faith that believes Jesus is the Messiah spoken of by Moses, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, not only the healer of the sick. He has a faith that sees Jesus not only as Master, but also as Lord and God. He has a faith that confesses, if Jesus can heal this worldly disease, surely he can also heal me from all sin, sickness, and even from death, so that I might live with God forever. He has saving faith in Jesus. And do you see what saving faith in Jesus does? It drives this man back to Jesus. Back to the divine service, back to fall down at Christ's face in worship. True Christian faith always points the sinner back to Jesus. So this last healed leper returns to Jesus for worship. He falls on his face at Jesus' feet. He falls on his face before his God and before his Lord. He has faith that Jesus is his Savior. Dear friends in Christ, what's your faith? What do you believe about Jesus? Who is he? What's your confession of faith? So many in our world today have an incomplete faith in Jesus. For example, some say Jesus wants you to have your best life now. That's how Joel Osteen describes his faith in Jesus. But what does that say about eternity? Forgiveness of sins? Or the identity of Christ? What's your faith? Some TV preachers declare that Jesus wants to heal you from your illnesses so long as you send $20 to them in the mail. Some of them even will give you a little bottle of holy water in return for your donation. It just came out of the tap, but it's all a sales ploy. But what does that say about Christ or the cross? Or the cost of your forgiveness. So many Christians today believe and have faith that Jesus is a social justice warrior, that Jesus wants no hungry, no repressed minority groups, no inequality or inequity. Some even teach that Jesus wants to upset our political world and become our worldly king. While they talk about all that, they never mention that Jesus gives eternal life, Jesus washes away sin in baptism, that his blood has set us free. What's the object of your faith? Which Jesus do you believe in? Jesus, the Savior, or Jesus, the nice guy? Jesus, God and Lord, or Jesus, the social justice warrior? Only one of those Jesuses saves eternally. And you know which one that Jesus is. He's your saving God. Jesus is the one who loves you so much that suffering death upon a cross was not too steep a price to pay for you, for your forgiveness, for your eternal life, to take your sin as far from you as the east is from the west. You know the true Jesus, the one who washed all your guilt and shame away in the waters of holy baptism, taking away the leprosy of your sin and clothing you with the robe of his holy righteousness. You know who Jesus is. He's the one who feeds you right here from this altar with his resurrected body and flowing blood, which once poured out from his side for the forgiveness of sins and the life of the world. You know who Jesus is. He's the one who creates true faith in you by sending forth his Holy Spirit in his holy, precious word, so that where the word is taught in its truth and purity, there Jesus might be. You know who Jesus is. And because you know who Jesus is, you are driven back to hear his word again and again, to kneel before him here in this sanctuary, at this altar rail, to receive his gifts with thankfulness and praise. You know who Jesus is, your God, your Lord, and your Savior. You see, faith always has an object. The object of our faith is Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the whole world. Jesus is our God. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the one who gives his life on our behalf so that we might be his holy people forever and ever and ever. You're a Christian. The object of your faith is Jesus, the Lord God. And that faith, faith given by the Holy Spirit, now saves you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we stand and confess together our faith in this Jesus using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into
Jesus and for all people, according to their needs. Almighty God, we give thanks for the innumerable blessings you have bestowed on us,
especially for the revelation of your will and grace in Jesus Christ, your Son. Preserve for your church the pure doctrine of your saving word. Raise up pastors to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ's name. And fill all your baptized children with your Holy Spirit and his fruits. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
In your mercy, remember the enemies of your church. Grant them repentance and amendment of life, that they would know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and be joined to the communion of your saints. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
To all those heading back to school, give diligence in their studies, respect toward their teachers, and a desire to grow in knowledge. Bless especially the schools, universities, and seminaries of our Synod, Good Shepherd Lutheran School and Preschool, and the midweek and confirmation instruction to begin this Wednesday here at Good Shepherd. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for our president, our national and state governments, our judges, and we pray that they would defend and protect us and all life from the womb to the grave. We give thanks also for all those whose duty it is to protect and serve in our communities. Watch over them as they carry out their duties and protect them and us from violence and discord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We implore you, Lord, to visit the sick, the suffering, the homebound, the grieving, and all who stand in need, especially Donna, Katie, Diane, Janet, Kurt, Janet, Nicole, Ron, Anna, Scott, Deborah, Vicar Short, Justin, Louisa, Lori, Jake, Al, Willis, Dorothy, Shay, Gary, Greg, Jeanette, Sharon, Sarah, Joyce, Julie, Lyle, Richard, Cindy, Carol, Bonnie, Daryl, the family of Tanya Schlaman, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Whatever their trials, have mercy on them and comfort them with the knowledge that nothing can separate them from the love you have for them in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Bless all those who approach your holy altar this day, that they would receive in faith and with thanksgiving the very body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of all their sins. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Sorry, set the table. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Savior and Lord Jesus, the object of our faith today and always. At this time, we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who loves us unto death for the forgiveness of all our sins would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Continue now with the offertory on page 159. What shall I render to the Lord? Please stand. Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy,
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood, as He bids us do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us
trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, have mercy on us. Thank you.
the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We sing the post-communion canticle, the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Please stand. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Please remain standing for our closing hymn, 806. Give thanks with a grateful heart. 806. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes, all the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead. Last Sunday, we installed our new pastor, Pastor Moline, and it's awesome to get a chance to hear him for the first time.